Hello, everybody. This is Susan McLean Bunt, and as you can see, I am here with Mindy Stern. And Mindy and I have met at a T. Harv Eker training, and we've done a whole set of trainings together. And in this episode, it's called The Money Interviews. And I'm going to interview a lot of people that I know and I love and I respect very highly because they have achieved harmony around their money and their business. And that's what we're all after. But they haven't always been in that place. And most people are stuck somewhere in the business building and growing your business. But how do I do that without compromising my life? And the people I'm interviewing in this series have overcome that because they have been struggling and they're not struggling now, but that was not a one-way street. That wasn't something like, oh, I'm just not going to struggle and I know how and I'll do it. They've been in the exact same place that you are in, and they're going to share a little bit about that journey. Now, for the people who know Mindy, here she is. And for the people who don't know Mindy, Mindy lives in Israel. She's American, but she's been living there over 30 years, I think, already.
Absolutely.
And she is a personal and financial coach and a business mentor for women specifically. And over the past 7 years, she has had her own business coaching women around money. And Mindy, I would very much like to ask you the first question, and that is, what is the specific incident that got you even here?
Oh, wow. First of all, Susie, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you very much for hosting me, for coming up with this brilliant idea to give our knowledge and give our experience to your listeners. It's just a wonderful opportunity, and I appreciate very much that you turned to me to be part of this project. I feel very honored, so thank you. And thank you for everybody who came to listen to us. It's great to be here. I don't know if it's so easy to say what specific thing got me here, but I'll think that it's a combination of, let's say, three different things, if I can talk about them. One is when I was about 40, 41, 42, something like that, I used to work in high tech in a very aggressive sales and marketing orientation. I used to travel around the world and sell product. Technologies, which was really a lot of fun. And I raised two children at home and a single parent. Okay. So I guess like a lot of people, at age 40, you start to think about, okay, what's going on? So I was in high tech and I said, my next step, my next level is to go to be a vice president of marketing or sales. And I have two children at home that I want to be there for them. You know, my children are very important to me. So you know, if I go to the next level, I will be working a lot more hours than I had been working up until then. I'd been working only until 4 o'clock in the afternoon so I can be with my kids in the evening. And if I were to change that, I would have to give a lot more hours. And I didn't want to do that because I want to be with my children. I want to be a mother that's really involved and there and supportive of my kids.
Exactly.
So at this time of confusion, I started to learn coaching. You know, I was in high tech and sales and I started to learn coaching and developing myself. And while I was learning and developing and starting to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I said, you know, wow, this coaching thing is really cool. You know, I'm making a lot of different changes in my life and they're so substantial that I think this is the way I want to go to develop coaching. Mm-hmm. So while I was developing coaching, learning coaching, I went immediately and started, my kids were at that age where I leave a couple of hours in the evening once or twice a week to learn. You know, they can stay by themselves. They didn't have to take a babysitter anymore. It was really a perfect time. And I learned coaching. And when I started coaching people, I was still working full-time and coaching. But the subject of money always seemed to come up. Now that I look at it in retrospect, it's not coincidental that it kept on coming up. It kept on coming up because, and you as a coach yourself, you probably see there's a lot of mirroring going on. Every client that comes to you always reflects back something that you have to learn and develop yourself.
Absolutely. After every session, I always ask this question, whose thing have we been working on exactly?
That's exactly it. We're mirroring one another and supporting each one another in our growth at whatever level we're in. So this money issue kept on coming up. And until then, you know, I had been in high tech with a very good salary, although I was raising my two children by myself. Still, I had a very good income, but I did have debt and I was overspending and there was a struggle going on, but I was kind of like ignoring it.
Exactly. This is the backside that we don't often see. So I really applaud you for sharing that.
Yes, no problem. So I was really ignoring it. So here I am developing myself and I'm trying to help other people and to help them. And how can I help them with their money when I'm totally ignorant of what's going on in my life and I'm accumulating debt and feeling the pressure from the bank every month?
Yes.
So I said, okay, Mindy, let's start looking at this. And as I started to look a little bit at my money situation, you know, I just didn't understand. I felt like I was not having a lot of expenses and I was just buying what I need, but my debt was always growing.
Exactly.
You know, and I would go to my kids in school on Friday, I'd go shopping to pick up one or two things and I'd leave with, you know, bags in my hand and sweating. Like, oh my God, what did I do?
Yes.
So anyway, it's a long story, but I'm going to make it short now.
It can feel like money is disappearing, like it's literally falling out of your hands and you have
no problem. It was. And I'm going to tell you something that was, for me, shocking. Now, I'm an educated person. I have a second degree in business. I was in high tech. I was managing teams, you know, managing millions of dollars in a business. And I could not understand why I was so stressed for money. The money was, like you said, disappearing. So one day I said, this is it. Enough. I looked at all my printouts of my bank statements and my credit card statements, and I took this whole pile and I went to the bank manager. And I said, we are going to sit here. You are stealing money from me. I swear to God, Susan.
Wow, it can really feel like that, can it? Yeah.
I swear to God. Me, you know, educated with my pieces of paper on my hand. And I went to the manager of the bank and I said, you're stealing from me. And I'm going to sit here with you. We're going to go line by line in my statements until we figure out how you're stealing money, because I'm not spending a lot and my debt is growing.
I love it.
Now I can laugh about it. It was kind of pathetic.
Yes.
So the bank manager said to me, you know, Mindy, it's you. You're not managing your money well. You're just out of control. You're out of control. You're not managing your money. And he said to me something that was life-changing. Okay?
Yeah.
He said to me, you are irresponsible. Me? Irresponsible?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I'm the most responsible person. I'm working. I'm taking care of two kids. I'm educated. I'm involved in school and I'm involved in projects. Mm-hmm. And I'm involved in the community.
And maybe
I'm
you were
responsible.
Maybe you were even too responsible in those areas and you had to make good for it in another area or something.
Unbelievable. And that's what switched, because for someone to tell me that I was irresponsible, that was like a challenge in my face. I was no longer going to be irresponsible and I had no one else to turn to but myself. And then I started to learn about money, you know, so as part of my coaching development, if I didn't get involved in coaching, I never would have, I always would have stayed in that process of struggling, you know, make a living, spend money, make sure I don't overspend too much before the next month, and always trying to manage the balance. So it's a real big blessing that I started to go out of myself to learn coaching, developing myself. I realized I had a money problem and then I took responsibility and I learned about how to manage money. And it's very interesting that, you know, I'm going to talk about myself. I struggled for years. I was 40 years old. So let's say 20 years, I was managing my own independent life. Most of that was in this process that I'm talking about, you know, just finishing up the month, you know, no savings except for what the government requires me to save. But, you know, nothing.
I never thoughts maybe like, I'm a good person, so I would be allowed to spend this, or I'm a good person, so I
worked hard. I think it mostly hurts, not enough. Being a good person so much, but two things. One, I worked hard. I worked hard to get to where I was in this business.
So I deserve it.
I worked hard in the office to make the deals, to make it work and make money for my boss.
Yeah.
And with my kids. My kids deserve, I think that's the most thing. I'd say 90% of my extra expenses were for my children. Yeah. You know, I just want them to have the good life, and I want them to have the best toys and exactly. develop and the best aftercare program. And, you know, and I want to take trips with them, and I want them to have a good life. I want my children to have a good life. Like I had a good life as well.
Right. Like all of us do. Right.
Yeah. So that was like the number one priority. So I guess the most of the extra money went on them. But after I learned how to manage money, a lot of money goes on my kids as well, but I'm balanced, you know?
Yeah. And now you're probably a lot better at saying no to them as well.
I think there's a different discussion. You know, coaching, I'm going to talk about, you know, I don't say no to my kids. We explore options. There are things that they want to have.
Yeah, but that's exactly, so you have a different conversation.
I don't automatically say yes to them on anything, but we explore options, and together we come up with a solution that's good for me, good for them. It could be now, it could be a month from now, it could be never.
Yeah. So you
but
have
it's a different dialogue.
Conversation with them.
Yeah. It's a conversation. I tell that also to my clients a lot. You know, we're so used to saying, and I did say it, I don't have any money. You might kids ask for something and your automatic response is, no, we don't have the money. But that's not true. We have money, and it's a matter of priorities and decision making to decide what you're going to do with your money. You know, not necessarily it's available for exactly what the kid wants at the same time. But you really shouldn't say you have no money, because you do have money.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here, right?
Yeah.
If you had no money, you wouldn't look the way you're looking.
No.
And beautiful and
oh, you're so yeah. sweet.
Nobody looks that way if you really don't have money.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, I work a lot with people who have money struggles. You know, they're struggling financially.
That's a different thing.
And what happens is, you know, the bottom line is they have money. You know, they're earning a living. They go to the office or they have their own business and money is coming in. So when they're focused on what they don't have, they bring more in their life of things that they don't have. Because whatever you're focused on expands. But if they focus on what they do have, it might not be a lot, but they have.
Yeah.
You know, and let's see, okay, what we have and let's manage that. Let's get control of that. And then your focus is on what there is. And once you're focused on what is can expand. Maybe that's a little bit too, new
age. Totally agree. I have, so I, a lot of people I work with and our listeners are a lot of them, some of them might want to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire, but most of them just want harmony around money. They don't necessarily want the 10 million or the billionaire or whatever. They're not motivated by having an endless pile of money. They just want harmony around it.
Right.
In our struggles. But what would your definition of money harmony even be?
Okay, I'm gonna think of two things when you say money harmony. For one, I just have to comment because it's like I'm very passionate about this subject. I think a lot of times when people, especially when they get on later years in their life and they have struggled for quite a few years, I think that the just wanting a harmony issue is because they don't think they deserve any more. They've lost their dreams. They've lost their ability to connect to all those wonderful things that they wanted to bring in their life because they've been struggling for so long and it seems to them unrealistic. So please, God, just give me harmony. You know, let me have peace.
Yeah.
So I want to say that you can have harmony and you can have money. What I think money harmony is actually is that when your money is supporting your lifestyle and your values,
exactly.
That's money harmony. And it doesn't mean that you have a lot of money and it doesn't mean that you have a little money. It's just that what you do have is flowing and making you bigger. It's supporting the things that you want to have in your life. Most of them are values. Most of them are values and not material so much. But it can support also materials. So if you start managing your money, and that's what I learned in my experience, when you start getting control and managing your money, you can actually have enough money to buy also material things that you want in your life and feel good with that.
So at what point did you feel that you were in harmony with your money?
I felt that I was in harmony with my money. When I had enough money to start achieving my goals, you know, I got out of that loop of, you know, just closing the month, just having enough to pay all my expenses. where I was able to also save a little bit and then starting to do things that I wanted to do. And very simple things. It could have been, you know, I wanted at the beginning, I wanted to paint my apartment. And that was a struggle because painting my apartment, how would I pay for my mortgage, you know, my electricity, if I painted my whole apartment? So I always kept putting it off. But I was able at very quickly, actually, once I started to learn about money, it happened all very, very quickly. I was able to paint my apartment nicely. I was able to buy a new living room set. I was able to go on a vacation that I wanted, a small vacation that I wanted to with my kids. So it wasn't necessarily big. I started to save for my children's education because until then I wasn't thinking for the future. You know, when my kids grow up, I started putting money away for their education in the future, which is very, very important to me. So even at the beginning, if it was a little bit of money, it still was for me very empowering and gave me peace that I knew that I would be able to give them exactly what I wanted to give them when the day comes.
Exactly. So specifically to you as a coach, why would you say financial harmony is so important to our listeners?
I think harmony is important to our listeners, you know, and finance is just something, money is something that touches us in every part of our life. So if you work, what I find also with my clients, when you work on money, you actually become empowered in everything, in your relationships with your significant other, your children. You feel better in your job because you don't have to be there for the salary. You can be there because you want to be there with your friends, with your extended family, with yourself, because once you have... you're managing your money, you could actually, you know, go to the book club if you want, or go do some sport if you want, or take a day off and spoil yourself if you want. There's a lot of things you can do once you're managing your money that supports you as a person and supports your values.
Yeah.
So I think that people in general should really be true to themselves, should understand what their values are and what their goals are. And money is just another resource that is supposed to go towards helping them support their values and achieve their goals. And that's money harmony. And that's why it's important, because people should, we were born to live a full and happy life.
Yeah.
You know,
for me personally, diving into my money stuff also, well, maybe even mostly brought happiness into my marriage. And I discovered working with other clients as well that your money patterns are exactly the same as your relationship patterns. And that's not an easy thing to grasp, but it is very true. And I was thinking, could you tell me a little bit about how, I assume that's the same for you, because I haven't met anybody who this doesn't work with. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about how going into your money stuff actually improved your relationships?
I don't have a significant other, so it didn't improve that relationship. I am part of the statistics, a very horrible statistic that says of divorced couples, 70%, it's a horrible number, 70% of divorced couples divorce on financial background because of money. 70%
wow.
Is a horrible, awfully big number.
You can shivers, yeah.
And which is for me, you know, breaks my heart, because I know that once someone learns how to manage their money, it's easy to do. You know, just people are afraid to touch, to think about money. They think it's something so horrible and so yucky that they don't even want to talk about it. And it's a shame. But I'm part of the horrible statistic of the 70% of people who divorced on financial record. However, I must say that my relationships with my kids are a lot stronger because we have a lot of dialogue now about what we want, what's important for our family, what's important for each kid, what's important for me. And we discuss that and we come up with solutions that not necessarily need money for them. You know, it could have started with, you know, buy me this or get me that, or I want to do this. But when you get into discussion about really what they want, what the need is, it can be something that's not financial at all.
Yeah.
So when I didn't have the money pressure anymore, I think that it helped me a lot in my, I was working then still in high tech. I was not dependent on my job.
Exactly.
You know how freeing that is to go to work and, you know, and And I don't have to be there. And matter of fact, it didn't take long until I made what I call an exit. You know, I stopped working in high tech and I opened up my own business. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not taken control of my finances.
But also think of how much more of your talent you can put into it and how much more of you when there's no fear of being kicked out.
It's unbelievable. It changes the whole dynamic of work. There's so many people who go to work, you know, they're upset and they don't like it and they just want to get the day over because they're pressured. They have to stay there for the salary. And when you don't have to do that anymore, it frees you up even to opening up ideas. I find that a lot with happens with my clients, they contribute actually more in work because they're not afraid of the consequence of opening up their mouth.
Absolutely. It's a very important point. Yeah.
So it helps you with that. It helps you with your parents, your siblings, everyone around you feels the change, not necessarily know that it comes from the money,
no,
from you taking control. But I don't think that there's a way to change, to get control of your money, be in harmony with your money without it affecting every relationship.
Absolutely.
That you have.
Absolutely.
That you have. I know a lot of parents and children, especially children that are older, parents that are older, that the children still expect their parents' financial support in some way, shape, or form. And it causes a lot of fighting between brothers and sisters and parents and children because there's some sort of expectation or underlying thought that the parents should still, even as far as, I don't even like to go there, but even as far as, you know, inheritance, what are you going to give me?
Oh, but there are so many fights about that.
So many. It destroys families.
Years before they would even die. Well, we never know when we're going to die, but...
Yeah, it destroys families, right? And if you're not dependent on that money,
yeah,
then it frees you up to have a loving relationship with your siblings and your parents. I'm not there, but I see it so much in people, this tension around money of what's due me and what I should get from other people and not getting, and it's all because, and you can totally control it because once you say, okay, this is my income, this is what how I'm going to live. I'm going to live according to what I have today and be in harmony. I like that word very much.
Yeah.
Then you don't need anyone to give you anything.
No, but it's all to do with self-love, what you're saying now. It's all to do with loving yourself to a point where you allow yourself to create the life you want.
Absolutely.
Without anybody helping you.
Absolutely.
And because nobody needs to help you, everybody starts to help you.
Everyone starts to help you.
That's when everybody starts to help you, you co-create a whole new universe.
And then you grow. It gives you the ability, instead of struggling, always, you know, I had a client say to me, it was almost very sad, actually. A client said to me 2 weeks ago, he says, you know, I'm very pessimistic about life. I said, why are you pessimistic about life? He says, because everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone's always in the rat race. You know, from 20 years old, we're all doing the same thing. And we have to do the same thing. You know, you grow up, you get a job, you get married, you buy a house, you have kids, you get a mortgage. And it's all the same thing. And I'm really upset that that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said to him, I said, well, now, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. You know, you don't have to. Now you have a choice of what you want to do. How do you want to live? So let's see what you can do now. What kind of sparks can you add into your life now that you're in control of your money? What kind of things can you put inside that will make you feel that you're not in what I'm going to call the rat race? You know, he thinks, and most people do because of money, that you're in the rat race. You have to, you know, buy the house and get the car and take the kids and get the job.
What does everybody do, right?
Well, you think that's what you see everybody do.
Not,
but it's
really
not necessarily the truth.
No, that's true. No, there are a lot of people driving in a very nice car with a very nice house that are completely broke.
Broke. And they don't sleep at night. They don't sleep at night and their health is deteriorating, which is, it's sad. But, you know, if you want to live a different kind of lifestyle, whatever you want to do, you should first decide on what you want to do, how you want to live your life. And then you take the money that you have and focus it on that.
Yeah, so
and you don't even need a lot.
So now we've been talking about more or less about why you should get the harmony, but how do you do that? How did you do that? So what were the struggles that, so if you have the point A where you said to your bank he was stealing money from you.
Yeah.
And to the point where you're creating your life. That's not, I know what I want, so I'll just go to a shop and buy it.
No.
So what roadblocks did you encounter on that path?
Well, first of all, I had to learn. I had to find a teacher. And I think that is the most important thing that I learned in this whole process is there are a lot of people who know better than I do. And it is so worthwhile to go and get support from someone who knows better than you and learn from them, you know, just and get the support. Now, when I first started with a teacher that I don't really know what her background is, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily sure that she experienced it herself. It was kind of like academic.
Okay.
But I took my knowledge and I took what was important for me, my coaching that I had learned coaching. So I took all sorts of concepts with coaching and added them to what she was teaching me academically and started working on myself, which wasn't so easy because I don't really think that people can make change all by themselves internally. It takes a long time. It's hard to do that.
If we could, the planet would be populated with very different people, wouldn't it?
Sure. We'd all be very happy and very empowered. And
exactly.
It was very hard to change. But once I knew, you know, the guy said to me, the bank manager told me I was irresponsible and I could not let that fly because I'm not irresponsible. So I had to learn. So I learned and I developed and I practiced and learned. What do I mean learned? I learned how to manage money. I learned how to make a budget. Okay. First, I learned how to make a budget,
yeah.
Which today when I teach, I don't teach just the budget at all, but that's what I was taught. So I had to learn how to make the budget and try to live with it. And while I was living with it, it's not easy. You know, first of all, when you make a budget, what you try to do is you try to reduce costs all over the place. You're reducing costs. So you feel very yucky.
It's very small, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, you're reducing it. And I didn't like that. So I had to work out myself.
Yeah.
How can I reduce costs in a way that doesn't make me small?
This is the one thing that keeps a lot of women from actually making a budget or managing their money, because you can feel deprived in that process, right?
You can.
I really can feel deprived if I'm not allowed to buy a dress, because who says I'm not allowed to do whatever I want to do?
And it's hard. And it's like a diet almost, you know, as much as you don't do, then you have to do it at some point. And then you get up gaining 15 pounds or you spend 2,000 euro.
Exactly.
Because you need that kind of, you need the things that you value in your life. You need to have them. So my struggle with myself was, how do I reduce my costs on one side and still live my life in a way that makes me happy? And that's when I decided to make my company, Healthy Finances.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to help people and myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manage money in a way that is empowering and not with that kind of diet kind of, reduced cost kind of thinking.
So you ran into the budgeting, which probably taught you some things, but then you thought, this doesn't feel right. So you started a company and tried to teach other people how you could do the same thing feeling right about it.
Feeling right about it and making it much bigger and using the mind and the heart and you just can't play the numbers. It's not a numbers game managing money.
No, but the nice thing is that a lot of listeners recognize this, that we often teach what we need to learn most ourselves. And it's okay to do that. It's really okay to do that. But what made that change for you? So you started teaching, but did you already know how to create healthy finance at that point?
I knew a few things. For one, when I started to manage my money, learn managing my money, in 3 months, I was out of debt. You know,
there's
a lot of things that I did to control my money. So I didn't leave my work as high tech. I didn't become self-employed until I was actually out of debt. Okay, I was managing my money on a basic level and developing it. I started to learn to listen to all sorts of mentors who were talking about money, going to different kind of courses, learning more about investing. Okay, now that I have money, what do I do?
So you found new teachers. So
I found good teachers.
Budget, and that didn't feel good. So you looked out and reached out to new teachers.
And I took the things that worked for me, I put them into my methodology. And I looked for other things. So now the methodology that I built has to deal with your emotions and your spiritualness, as well as the material itself and your belief system. It's not just the money. There's a lot of things that I needed to do on myself with my mindset. And even now, you know, I'm 7 years in this business. And even now, let's say 6 months ago, I took another course that deals with belief systems about money. I mean, I've taken every course there is about money and investment that is out there, from the best of the best in the world, because even me, who I am successful and I manage my money well and I have investments and I teach people how to manage their money, there's still a lot more growth. Absolutely. There's still a lot more I can do, and there's a lot more that I can give.
And what is the biggest struggle or the biggest roadblock that you encountered in this?
The biggest struggle is me.
Yeah.
Me. I am the biggest roadblock to my own success is me. My limiting beliefs.
What was your most pregnant limiting belief?
I don't know if I can put my finger on something, but I'm going to guess that it could be at a point where I said, I don't know how to manage money. If I had money, I would lose it.
Yeah. Okay. If I had money, I would lose it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not, which is not true, because even when I was saying this to myself, I had money and I wasn't losing it.
No, but you did say at the beginning of the interview that all the money that came in disappeared.
And I was overspending.
I was.
So, you know, your thoughts create your reality.
Yeah.
Your thoughts create reality. So it was no longer, I was totally in control. And another thing that I believed was that I would not be able to provide for my children. If I were to tighten my belt, so to speak, I wouldn't be able to give my children what I wanted to give them. Yes. But it turns out that money management is not necessarily tightening your belt. It's choosing your priorities. And since my children are my priority, they don't really feel a big difference. As a matter of fact, they gain from it, because now they have also financial values. My children will never, ever be in the situation that I was in their life.
No.
Ever.
So in reality, tightening your belt actually empowered you to give them everything they needed.
And with a dialogue about it. Now there's value. It's not that I'm giving and they don't value it. They understand the value behind it.
Yeah.
And why I'm doing it, and what our choices are, you know?
I love that.
It's so even today, there's a lot of struggles I did. Even today, I'm still working on it. I still need, and I think that everyone does. I don't think I'm any different from anyone else.
Oh,
you need support. Yeah. You need support to overcome yourself, your own limiting beliefs, your own fears, you know, your fears. I want to now do a live conference someplace. It's the first time I'll be doing it in this new place. And I'm afraid. So, you know,
I need someone. What are you afraid of when it comes to that? What's your biggest fear there?
It's not even logical.
No.
You know, that I'm going to make the effort and no one's going to come. That's my biggest fear.
No one's going to come. Yeah, I know that one very well. They're in that room all by yourself, 1,000 seats empty.
Yes, I guess that's my biggest fear.
Everybody who's going to take it isn't even going to show up, are they?
Yeah, but no one's going to show up if I don't advertise and invite them.
No, that's true. So you can easily create that situation, can't you?
Yeah. So I need support, and I know I need support. So I'm always looking for people like you, even to be with colleagues who are doing the same things and trying to expand who they are, is support. And going, finding mentors, people who've already done it and succeeded, to learn from them and to get their support. It drives you forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I really set up these interviews because I want people to really feel and understand that there's never a point where it's all good and great. There is never a point where you feel like you have control over everything, because now you have $1 million in the bank and now all your problems are gone. It just doesn't work that way.
We're always growing.
But you can always gain more harmony about where you are at the moment.
It has to be that way because life is dynamic. We're changing, our environments are changing, we're growing. Although I think that once you, my experience is, once you start getting control of your finances and your finances supporting you, the growing process becomes a lot easier. You're not struggling at each stage you go through. You have a good foundation, a good support where you can adapt to the new changes in the dynamic life without that sense of struggle and that worry that we had when we were struggling financially. It kind of frees you up to grow and to learn the next stage of your life without that worry and the possibility to go there. Because if you're struggling financially, you can't even think that you can change something in the future because you have to make the money now in order to pay your bills. So it kind of frees you up to go through life, which, because life has its ups and downs, to go through life on a more solid ground where you'll be ready for any kind of challenge that faces you in the future.
Absolutely.
It sounds so wonderful, right?
It does. Let's do it. what if our listeners actually picked up on this journey? What would be possible for them?
I really think that the sky is the limit. You know, I really think that people can live their dreams. You know, when we first started off our lives as adults, we had this concept of how we should live, what we should be doing, where we wanted to go, where we wanted to be in 20 years from now. And in a lot of cases, people aren't there. And I think that if they go through this process of learning to manage their money in a way that is supporting them, that they have financial harmony, as you call it, not in a way that is struggling and makes them small, but that actually their money supports them, I think they can actually live their dreams. I'm living my dream today. I have my own business. I have two beautiful children who we spend a lot of good time together. I have a nice home. I love to learn, and I'm learning together with you, from these great people all throughout the world. I feel that I'm living my dream, and my next stage is I'm going to start to travel a lot more because my children are are almost adults. Yeah. And I want to share my journey with the world, but out there, go to them instead of them coming to me or being virtual. And I can do that now.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
8 years ago, I couldn't even imagine that I can do anything other than be an employee where I was and just pray that they raise my salary by a few percent every year.
So that's how fast it can change. It's only 8 years.
It's only 8 years, but yeah. And let's say out of those 8 years of me having my own business, the last 4 years have been really stable and growth. You know, I have a business, not just a hobby or not just an idea or not just a little bit of an income, but I have a business now for 4 of those years.
Yeah.
So it's possible. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not had that mirror of someone showing me that I wasn't in control of my finances and the banker telling me I was irresponsible.
Sometimes a guy telling us that we're not good enough really gets us into a high growth mode, doesn't it?
Wow. I was going to show him.
Yeah. And that a lot of coaches out there are saying, no, no, you need an inner motivation. But sometimes an outer motivation like that one can really do the trick. And of course, that's not your real motivation, but it can put you into a kind of an action mode, can't it?
Sure. That's a trigger. It's a trigger. I think that most times we get feedback from our environment that triggers us to feel uncomfortable with ourselves enough to do something.
Exactly. Yeah, I recognize a lot of that. So what is your recommendation to our listeners that they should do now, today? What's the first? Because often I teach a lot about, well, you need to know your point B and your point A. But then if you only see your point B, like you're describing, so now I am in this place and it's only been 8 years. But if you look at that point, that can be so big and so much that somehow it feels like I will never get there.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
First step, just I always say the 5-minute action that you could do now, immediately, right after this interview, right after listening to this, the first thing that gets everybody in motion.
I think that the best thing that people can do for themselves to become active is to find the right teacher. And even if you feel that you are not really struggling, or maybe someone didn't really empathize with me all the way, but they have a little bit of a money issue. And I think most people do. You know, they say 80% of the world is in debt. So that means that there's an issue. I would find a teacher and learn, take control. Whatever your income is, it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of income. It's a matter of how you spend your money, how you divide your pie, and take responsibility. And I would say that the best thing that anyone could do right now, in the next hour, is find their teacher, someone who is going to support them to grow with their money, not to make a budget, but just looks at money with a worldview, a holistic approach, because money is not just money, it's energy. And need to take responsibility. Whatever it is that you're earning is what you're earning, and that is what you have to live on today in a balanced way.
Thank you very much.
So my pleasure.
Directly after this interview, I would really recommend, and so does Mindy, to go into Google and to spend 5 minutes of looking for all the money teachers you can find. And you have two of them here in this interview. And just make a list and see who really resonates with you. And really start diving into who do I want, and take all their free stuff.
All of it.
Yeah. And devour it. And I would say invest and pay in your education for that as well. But directly after this, but that's the next step.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Learn and get a lot of support, because it's not an easy path, not an easy journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For me, one of the things that really helped me is to start talking about it with people I feel safe with. And that's,
you're lucky that you had people you felt safe with to talk about it.
Well, not necessarily. So I found somebody that I thought, well, he has no role in my life, so I don't really care what he thinks about
me. Yeah.
And I went up to him and I said, I have a problem and I really want to talk to somebody, and I don't feel safe with my husband or my kids or my parents or my sisters or my friends. So I really needed, that was actually my first teacher. He set me out on the second path of finding a real teacher.
Wow, fantastic. That's it. You need support. It's a difficult journey, but it could be quick. It does not have to take long, but find the person out there who's going to help you, support you in that journey. Understand that it's important to do it. It'll change it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing.
So especially ladies, don't just Google it and think, oh, well, you know, over the next week, I will dive into all these teachers and I will listen to all their stuff and I'll just see who I'm going to choose. But really choose one teacher within 5 minutes. Don't make a big thing out of it or a new project out of it. Choose a teacher and start.
And start. And like you said, Susie, and choose from that one teacher, take everything that they offer for free and start to do, implement, even little steps, baby steps.
Yeah. My first action, I would really like to know what your first action was. My first action was looking at my bank accounts every single day. Sometimes it made me sick, but it's really good to start looking at them.
Well, my first thing that I did was starting writing down. Every time I spent money, I would write it down.
That's also real.
Whether it was credit card or cash, it didn't matter. I just write it down because, now I know. Then I did not. But now I know that money has become so virtual that we have no concept of it, no feeling for it.
No.
So even when I work now with my clients, I work with a pencil and paper, no computers, no Excels, no apps, no nothing. To try to make the money something that you can touch, that you can feel, and it's easier to manage that way if you can work with it. So when I started writing it down, it became real, not just, a number in my bank.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you very much for that. So that was our interview. And if there's anything else you would like to know from Mindy, you're very welcome to visit her Facebook pages. That's Healthy Finances on Facebook or Successful Self-Employed Superwomen on Facebook. And those are two pages I strongly recommend you like them and you follow Mindy and you start asking her questions. She is an awesome lady. You can ask her anything. She will always respond. That's my personal experience with her. And
with love.
Both of us are always willing to help because we know your situation. We really do. That's not just a story.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening. Next week, we will have a wonderful next guest. And I hope you stay tuned and write in the comment section what you've learned from this interview. Give us all your questions so that we can really get these interviews to the place that they start serving you with your questions. Thank you very much. And that was it for today. Bye.